Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We'll read verses 10 through 14 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And let's finish on verse 14 together. Ready? For God shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for a man of God here in this city. Father, I pray that you bless our people today as they hear the preaching of the Word of God. Change hearts and change lives. Lord, I pray that you bless our preacher because of the time he has spent with you in order to give us this truth today. For we know the devil would like nothing better than to test us and to try us with that truth. May we learn it so that we can defeat Satan, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
They had invited me to sing in that group, but time won't allow because I'm just so, so busy. Thank you so much, folks. That was just fantastic. We this morning focus on the need of the souls of men throughout the entire world. Missions giving is a privilege and an honor. Annually, we have what we set aside 4 days, and we emphasize raising money for our missions program and through our Faith Promise program. We started on Wednesday of this week, and then Thursday, and then Friday, having 2 services a day. This morning, the last sermon on the subject of missions, but around here we're missions minded all the time, always after the souls of men. But what we do is we promise God that we will give a dollar amount per week above our tithe to missions. Now, of course, you cannot give an offering until you have taken care of that initial obligation of the tithe to our Lord. But in 2007, our last year, we again reached 100% of our goal that we set in giving to missions. All kept their promises. I want you to remember something about this thing. If you promise to give God money for our missions program, you're not promising me. It's a promise that you make to God. And I want to thank all of you who, last year at our missions conference, made a promise. You made a promise of an amount of money that you would give, and you evidently kept your promise because we reached our goal, which is odd. I think this is the 3rd year in a row that we went all the way to reaching our goal. Now, some of you did not. You can thank God that some other people gave more than what they had promised, which made up the difference, but thank God for your faithfulness. You say, what's it all about? It's all about heaven and hell. It's all about heaven and hell. There's a real heaven, there's a real hell. Everybody's going to go to one of those two places, and the thing that makes the difference is whether they've trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior or they have done nothing. Done nothing. And we want to tell everybody we can about Jesus Christ. I hope that you'll stay with me today. I have worked on this sermon, and I have prayed about this sermon, and I know this sermon needs to accomplish a specific purpose, and I hope that you'll allow it to accomplish that purpose in your heart. Today I come to you with a challenge about missions. Let me read to you the text from which I find my sermon. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." This sermon will not be an emotional appeal. Today's sermon is an appeal to your character. I hope to flip the switch to your duty mechanism today. The people who are only motivated to give to missions by way of their emotions usually give as unpredictable as their emotions are unpredictable. People who give because of their character and because of duty give abundantly, faithfully, thoroughly, and they do it right. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13, speaks of the whole duty of man. God reminds us that man has duties. You say, what's our duty? Well, it's our duty, of course, to obey God. The Bible mentions the word duty often. For instance, you find the word duty in Exodus chapter 21, verse number 10, where the Bible speaks of the duty of marriage. Deuteronomy 25:5 speaks of the duty of family members. Ezra chapter 3, verse number 4 speaks of our daily duties. Ecclesiastes 12:13, as we've already read, speaks of the duty of man. Romans chapter 15, verse number 27 speaks of duty to our ministries. 2 Chronicles 8:14 speaks of the duty of a man of God. I looked at Webster's dictionary, and Mr. Webster gives us a brief definition of this word duty. He says it's a moral or it's a legal obligation. It's a conduct or an action that's required by one's position. You say, well, what's my position? Born-again Christian. Now, there are duties that go along with that privilege that you have of being a born-again Christian. The word duty in the Bible finds its origin in the thought of our being in debt. You say, well, to who am I in debt? God. God. You owe God everything. You know, those that struggle with giving God back 10%, well, he gave all 100% to you. For him to ask for 10 back is not unreasonable, and I'm just hoping that he doesn't decide he wants to start getting more than that. So you better thank God for what it is that he asked you for. But the word duty in the Bible, as the Bible defines it, it is a word having to do with our debt, and we are indebted to God. We therefore have obligations to him. Stay with me, if you will. Many a person has accomplished great and heroic feats in life driven by duty. What's happened to duty in America? Are you a person of duty? Are you a person of duty? Let me give you a story, if I could, about a duty-driven soul winner. John Harper was born on May the 29th of 1872. He began to preach at the age of 17. He'd gotten married, but shortly thereafter, he became a widower. However brief his marriage, God gave John a little girl by the name of Nana, N-A-N-A. And it was the night of April the 14th of 1912, John and his little girl, of course his wife being dead, they got on board a ship called the Titanic. On board was John and his six-year-old girl now, Nana. According to the documented reports, as soon as it was apparent that the ship was going to sink, John Harper immediately took his daughter to a lifeboat. It would have been reasonable to assume that this man who had lost his wife could have easily gotten on board that lifeboat and gone to safety with his little daughter. However, that never seemed to have crossed the mind of this man. He bent down, kissed his precious little girl, looking into her eyes, and told her she would see him again someday. Her soft, tender little mind would have never dreamed that he meant someday in glory rather than someday on this earth. That night, 1,528 people went into the frigid waters as the Titanic sank. John Harper was seen swimming frantically to people in the water, leading them to Jesus before the hypothermia became fatal to them. Mr. Harper swam up to one young man who had climbed onto some debris. Harper asked him, between the breaths, gasping for his own life, Harper said, "Are you saved, young man? Are you saved?" The young man's reply was, "No." Harper then tried to lead this young man to Jesus Christ, and the young man, who was near shock, replied, "I'm not interested. The answer is no." John Harper then took off his own life jacket and threw it to the young man and said, "Here then, you need this more than I do," and swam away to lead others to Jesus Christ. A few minutes later, Harper swam back to the young man and led him to Jesus Christ. Of the 1,528 people that went into that water that night, only six were rescued. One of them was the young man that had been won to Jesus Christ. 4 years later, at a survivor's meeting, this young man stood up in tears and recounted how John Harper had led him to Christ right before he went under the water himself. Mr. Harper had tried to swim back to help others, but he was so cold and wore out from winning people to Christ, Harper drowned. They said the last words heard of John Harper before he went under the water to meet his Maker was this: "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved." The duty of a soul winner. How about the duty of a mailman? One man named Roger Parker, who normally walks down the steps and the sidewalks of Germantown, Tennessee, where he makes his living as a mailman. Parker was very modest about the deed that I tell you about. The two lives that Parker saved belonged to Robert and Betty Bingington. Robert was a dialysis patient, and his wife Betty said, "Every day is precious to us as I care for my husband. It's what I do around the clock." On their way home from the hospital late one afternoon, they were approaching a stoplight when their brakes failed. To keep from smashing into a crowd of people, Mr. Bingington drove up onto the sidewalk and into a raging river. Mr. Parker, the mailman, saw the couple in his rearview mirror as they headed toward the water. The mailman drove his truck right down to the water after seeing that couple go into the raging river. The Bingington's truck was sinking fast. This mailman pulled Betty out through the window and put her on his back and swam her to safety. Two other rescuers struggled to try to help Robert, her husband, but time was running out. Back into the water went the mailman. Parker spent some time in the Navy and knew a little something about a water rescue. He said, I didn't understand why I couldn't get the man out, but I knew one thing. He wasn't going down on my ship, even if it cost me my life. You know, I wonder where people like that are at today. Where are people who care about people to that degree? But the sinking truck's powerful undertow was pulling Parker under. I just grabbed him and kind of jerked him 3 or 4 times until I could get him out of the vehicle. And then suddenly it was submerged in water with Robert and Betty safely on shore. Parker walked back to his truck and drove home and told no one. The postmaster assembled his letter carriers the next morning trying to find out who the anonymous hero was. And only after much stress in the meeting did Mr. Parker raise his hand and say, "Well, I was there and helped out a little." The duty of a mail carrier. How about the duty of a child? A 7-year-old girl named Alexis Goggins jumped in front of an enraged gunman who pumped 6 bullets into her body as she shielded her own mother. The shooter was a man by the name of Tilly. The girlfriend, age 30, was shot in the left side of her head and her bicep by this former boyfriend. "I was scared and screaming when my boyfriend was shooting," said the mother. She said she pleaded with him, but he pointed the gun at her and shot her in the side of the head anyway. Before he could fire again, her 7-year-old daughter, Alexis, jumped over the seat between her mother and the gunman, begged him not to shoot her mother. The police report said Tilly, without hesitation, pumped 6 shots into the child. A man from the Detroit public school system spent days by that little girl's hospital bed and said it was miraculous that she was alive. "What a courageous little girl," said Mr. Bodley. "You've seen more bandages on her body than you could see skin. What a horrific sight. Her duty to her mother was remarkable." How's your duty to your mother, young people? The duty of a mom. Lorraine Allard was told that she had advanced liver cancer when she was 4 months pregnant with her first son. The 33-year-old mother of 3 girls was advised to abort her son, who was 23 weeks old and beginning, and she was told that she should begin chemotherapy right away to save her own life, and she should kill her son within her womb. Rather than follow the doctor's advice, however, this courageous woman insisted on waiting long enough to give birth to her unborn son so he would have a chance, knowing that the chemo would kill her. She said, "If I am going to die, my baby is going to live. Mrs. Allard was scheduled for a cesarean delivery at 26 weeks, the baby being 26 weeks along within her, but went into a premature labor and delivered her son named Lyman on November the 18th. He was so tiny, just 1 pound and 11 ounces, so tiny, the nurse, when the baby was born, grabbed the baby out, let mama kiss the baby one time before taking the baby to an intensive care and to the incubator. Within 45 days, this dear mother had the tumors had been diagnosed of being out of control, and she passed away, all in an effort to make sure her baby would live. It's called duty. Duty, America. Duty. Duty, Christian. How about the duty of a father? A father rescued his two stepchildren from a blazing house, fearing he would only find their corpses. Mr. Pifke, 37, smashed his way through cyclone-proof shutters and a window before braving a virtual inferno to rush to Justin, age 4, who was already unconscious, and Nikita, age 7. The two innocent little kids, he said, would have died. They would have died had I not gotten to them. And he said, I would rather die than to let my kids die in the fire. He said, I had to get to them. I almost dropped to my knees and gave up because of the battle. I was screaming to the kids, and I could not hear them, and I could not see them. Then somehow I heard a voice that led me to them, and I carried them out. They took them all and hospitalized them, and all three lived. But a dad that understood his duty, a stepdad that understood his duty, the duty of a police officer. September 21, State Trooper Williams was dispatched to a mobile home fire in which two people were trapped inside. Williams entered the smoke-filled home, feeling his way through the burning hallway until he located a 2-year-old and a disabled female in a nearby bedroom. When he attempted to exit with one child, he found the front of the home where he had entered was engulfed in flames. Williams quickly located another way out and carried that child, and then went in for the other and handed them to paramedics as all collapsed on the ground and were taken off, barely alive, the three of them, overtaken by flames and the smoke within that burning home. The minute they stepped out, it collapsed. A duty-driven police officer. How about the duty of a teacher? We all know of the Virginia Tech massacre of this last year. When gunshots were fired in the classroom next to his, a 76-year-old engineering professor at Virginia Tech ran to the door of his classroom to block the gunman from entering. Many students in his classroom were escaping from the windows. While this man took the bullets as a shield, and his students escaped, and he died. That sure beats the stuffings out of the teachers of today. All these stories talk about duty. I am motivated by duty. Oh, what duty can do to a person. Oh, what duty can do to a people. Oh, what duty can do for our world. We see here a soul winner who did his duty. We see here a mailman who did his duty. A child who did her duty. A mother who did her duty. A father who did his duty. A police officer who did his duty. A teacher that did their duty. In every position of life, there are duties, my friend. As an employee, it is our duty to show up to work, have a good attitude, and be on time. As a borrower, it is our duty to pay back the money that we have been lended, to pay it back on time and properly. As an honest human being, it is our duty to tell the truth at any cost. As citizens of a democracy, it is our duty to vote, even if we don't like the candidates. As a follower, it is our duty to be loyal. As a leader, it is our duty to be strong and lead. As an American, it is our duty to stand when the Star Spangled Banner is played. As a person saved from going to hell, it is our duty to win the lost to Jesus Christ at any cost. As a husband, it is our duty to love, cherish, and protect our wives and our homes. As a wife, it is your duty to meet the needs of your husband, your children, and spread the tenderness of a woman across this great nation. As a father, it is your duty to raise your children to be godly. As a mother, it is your duty to teach your children how to be successful in this life, both physically and spiritually. As children, it is our duty to bring honor and glory to our parents and our Heavenly Father. As a church member, it is our duty to tithe and support the local New Testament church. As a human being, it is our duty as we live on this globe to oppose pollution and the littering of the beautiful world that our God has given us. As a man, it's our duty to work hard and long hours and be productive and to be men that lead our country and our homes. As parents, it's our duty to give our children a godly Christian education. As free United States citizens, it is our duty to place our hands upon our hearts when we say the Pledge of Allegiance. As students, it is our duty to uphold the standards of our school and that of our education. As benefactors of the character of the people of the past decades and the past, it is our duty to be reminded of those that have given their lives to make you and I free in a country we call America. We should not do what we do because we feel like doing it. We should do what we do because it is right to do. Do your duty, Christian. Do your duty, Dad. Do your duty, Mama. Do your duty, police officer. Do your duty, Christian. Do your duty. We seem to want to be emotionally moved to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished. Hey, you listen to me. We ought to do what we do because it's right to do. It's just right to do. Do what is our duty to do. Emotions waver, but duty is anchored. When the time gets tough, you can't let your emotions stop you from doing what's right to do. What's right to do. You say, I'm facing a burden. Do what's right to do. You say, I don't feel like doing it. Don't do what you feel like doing. Do what is your duty to do. Duty is dependable. Duty is responsible. Duty is constant. Duty is steadfast. Duty is faithful. Duty is loyal. Duty is steady. Duty is reliable. Duty is certain. Duty is definite. Duty is confident. Duty is commitment. Duty is trustworthy. Duty is secure. Duty is tried and true. Duty is sound. Duty is valid. Duty is proven. Duty is authenticated. Duty is verified. Duty is stability. Duty is unwavering. Good, decent people are people of duty. 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 Doctors swear to do their duty. Police officers promise to do their duty. Soldiers promise to do their duty. Boy Scouts promise to do their duty. Girl Scouts promise to do their duty. Still true, Brother Nash? He was in the Girl Scouts. The judges of our land promise to do their duty. A fireman promised to do his duty. Might I say, when the President of the United States of America is sworn in, he places his hand on the Bible and promises to do his duty for our country, one nation under Jehovah God. It's his duty. It's his duty. Good Christians fulfill their duties as directed by the Bible. Duty will help us to succeed when our emotional motivation fails us. Duty. 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 I preach to you this morning a sermon that I've entitled, Missions, Our Duty. Our duty. Stay with me, please. Number one, it is the duty of man to fear God. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You listen to me, wherever you are in this vast sea of faces, it is your duty to fear your God. You say, what do you mean by fear God? Hey, it's your duty to respect God. It is your duty to respect the power of God. It is your duty to respect the holiness of God. It is your duty to reverence God. It is your duty to reverence His book. It is your duty to reverence His church. It is your duty to reverence His causes. It is your duty to reverence His man. Hey, don't treat God like you treat everybody else. You should fear God. He ought to be first place in your life. The Bible teaches it is the duty of man to fear God. And if you are living in such a way that you're not fearing the outcome that God may cause you to reap, you're not fearing God and you're not fulfilling the duty of man. It is the duty of man to fear our God. Teach your children to fear God. Parents, you ought to be teaching your kids, don't you ever cross God. Don't you ever go against God. Don't you ever do that which would be displeasing in His sight. It's not just a Sunday school class's job to tell them that. It's not just a Christian school's job to tell them that. It's not just our youth director's job to tell them that. It's not just my job as a pastor to tell them that. Every parent here ought to teach your kids to fear God. Fear God. You see, it's the duty of man to fear God. Secondly, it is the duty of man to keep God's commandments. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You better do what He tells you to do. Why? It's your duty. It's your duty. You better do what the Bible tells you to do. Why? It's your duty. You got to do what is preached from the Bible. Why? It's your duty. It is not optional. It's your duty. It is your duty. He expects it. It is required. It's your duty. Oh, yes, indeed. God is patient, and God is long-suffering, and God is kind. But God's goodness does not relieve you of your duty to God. You are to obey God, period. You say, but I've been disobeying, and it's not turning out real bad in my life. You better throw this word in, yet. Right. You are obligated by duty as a Christian to obey God's book. And just because God's long-suffering and patient, that doesn't mean God is letting you go play and do what you want. You're to obey this book. You're to obey the Bible. When you don't feel like obeying, obey anyway. Why? It's your duty. Duty. What's happened to duty? What's happened to if God said it, that's how it's going to be. But I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what we feel like. Feelings are not involved in duty. Duty. Listen, folks, if I only did what I felt like doing, I'd be home right now. I'd have a great big old black cup of coffee, and I'd be dunking donuts so fast into that coffee and then dunking them into me. We don't do what we do because we feel like it. We must do what we do because it is the duty of man. You see, the Bible says the duty of man is to fear God. The Bible says the duty of man is to obey His commandments. Thirdly, it is the duty of saved people to help lost people get saved. It is the duty of saved people to help lost people get saved. Mark 16, 15 says, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Winning the lost is the responsibility of every born again Christian. See, hear that? Winning the lost is the responsibility of every born again Christian. Now, here's where, if you're not careful, you're apt to make a mistake. This isn't something that you're to take and say, I want to talk to everybody else about this thing of winning others to Christ. You better be talking to you about winning others to Jesus Christ. It is your duty to get other people to Jesus. You say, I don't know how. Well, this evening we'll have a training class that'll teach you how. Some of you know how, but you never do anything about it. And so everybody knows. Everyone. Everybody on that front row right there, if you're a born-again Christian, it doesn't matter to me if you're 7 or if you're 17 or you're 27, you're to tell others about Jesus Christ. Everybody in that balcony, if you're born again, you're to be telling others about Jesus Christ and trying to get them born again. Everybody that sits over here in this section, it doesn't matter to me if you came in on a bus or you drove in a limousine or a Cadillac, you're to tell others about Jesus Christ. Every person in this choir, you're to tell others about Jesus Christ. It doesn't, if you're a visitor in this church today and you say, well, my church doesn't teach this, then they ought to start teaching the whole counsel of God, because the Bible teaches every born-again Christian, it is their duty to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's not just the pastor's job to get people saved. It's your duty to get people saved. Indeed, it is my duty. I don't win people to Jesus Christ because I'm the pastor. I win people to Jesus Christ because I am a Christian, and it is the duty of a Christian to get other people saved. It's not just the assistant pastor's job to get people saved. It's your duty. It's not just the assistant pastor's wife's job to get people saved. It's your duty. It's not just an evangelist's job to get people saved. It's your duty. Hey, it's not just the deacon's job to get people saved. It's your duty. It's not just the church leadership's job to get people saved. It's your duty. You cannot give money to missions to alleviate the responsibility of you winning your neighbors to Christ. See, I gave money to missions. I go to a soul-winning church. That gets me off the hook. You can give all the money you want, but there's somebody you're supposed to win to Jesus. There's somebody that you work with that needs to get saved. There's somebody that lives right beside you that needs to get saved. There's somebody that is down at the grocery store where you do your shopping that needs to get saved, and you can't pay him to go win them. God wanted you to be a part of the workforce. It is the duty of saved people to win lost people to Jesus Christ. It is the duty of man to fear God. It is the duty of man to obey his commandments. It is the duty of man. And saved people are to tell lost people about Jesus Christ. It's your duty. You say, I don't feel like it. It's your duty. It's your duty. Fourthly, it's our duty to God to get the people around the world saved. Just a moment ago, I was talking about the people that you make contact with every day. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, what does that word all there mean? All. God wants you and I to get the gospel to the people in China. God wants you and I to get the gospel to people in Mexico. God wants you and I to get the gospel to people in Haiti, or Nepal, or England, or Norway, or Korea. You say, Brother Owens, how am I going to do that? Well, you are to give the gospel out where you live, and then in the areas where you don't live, then we will get help, and we will figure out a way to get the gospel to those people. But it's still our duty. It's still our duty. The Bible says that God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. It's your duty, according to the Word of God, to get the gospel out all around the world. You say, but Brother Owens, I cannot physically go. I cannot go around the world. I can't travel around the world like Brother Heidenreich. Oh, I understand that. I understand that. So then what do we do? So then we, on purpose, support missionaries to do what? To do our duty. It's our duty. It's our duty. I really don't see the winning of the lost around the world as optional. It's a command of God. This is the whole duty of man. What's the duty of man? To obey the commandment of God. What's the commandment of God? That you and I win people to Christ in our neighborhood, and then that we win them around the world. Well, we can't get around the world ourselves, so what do? God said, I got you fixed up. We're going to have a thing called missionaries. And though you cannot buy them to do your personal soul winning, you can help them and support them to go reach around the world with your obligation, or for your obligation to God, your duty. Your duty. It's our duty. It is the duty of the local New Testament church. It is the duty of Christians. It's our duty. It is our duty. It is our duty to fear God. It is our duty to keep His commandments. It is our duty as saved people to tell the lost that we come in contact with about Christ. It is our duty to get the gospel around the world. Number five, it's our duty. Hey, listen to this. It's our duty to ourselves to get people saved around the world. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 2 says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." You know something? Here it's saying, you believe the gospel, you received it, there's a certain obligation that you ought to have in getting the gospel out to other people. You want to do yourself a favor? Get your eyes off yourself and get concerned about somebody else's salvation. I can help some of you with your burdens. You're so self-centered, it's pathetic. The reason you whine constantly about your life is all you examine is your life. Some of you, you could help yourself by just becoming a soul winner. You say, "Well, brother, I didn't have enough money to pay my mortgage payment." Well, there's somebody that died and went to hell yesterday. Now, I'm sorry you didn't have enough money to pay your mortgage payment, but let me tell you something. While you're crying in your beer, it might be a good idea for you to get your eyes off yourself and go find somebody that's got a bigger problem than you. You know, somebody that's on their way to hell has a bigger problem than you, that you had to replace a flat tire. And I feel for you in regard to your tire. Bring it by. I'll have Brother Young change it for you. It's just the kind of guy I am. Well, let me tell you something, folks. There's some of you that are very negative in life. I'll tell you why you're so negative. You haven't stopped to realize what Jesus Christ did for you. You'd have no reason to gripe if you would just get your eyes off of you and look at the fact that you're not going to die and go to hell. And there are all sorts of people out there that have it 10 times worse than you. You say, "How so? They're lost and on their way to hell." You talk about a bad situation to be in. You see, it's virtually a duty that we have to ourselves. Some of you could encourage yourself by taking the gospel that's been given to you and give it away. Become a conduit of the love of God. Let God's love pass through you to someone else. You'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. Do you know something? This thing of the souls of men could help your marriage. Help your relationship with your kids. Help your relationship with other people. Can I tell you something that'll doctor up two people that fussing in the church? Won't the two of you go soul winning together? Get your eyes off your petty little feelings and your petty little whiny baby, cry baby problems. And say, let's go out and win somebody to Jesus Christ that's on their way to hell and put our petty problems aside. Will you do it? Hey, it's our duty. It's virtually a duty to ourselves. Look, Christians, if a Christian finds something that is of great value, Christians are not stingy. Christians share that which is given to them of great value. Now, we receive Jesus Christ, and that is of great value. And what we need to do is take that which has been given to us, and we need to share it. You'll receive rewards from getting people saved. The Bible teaches that. You will feel better about yourself by winning people to Jesus Christ. You will up your self-worth by winning people to Jesus Christ. You say, I've got a lack of confidence in my life. Go win some people to Jesus Christ. It'll give you some confidence. When you see the great God of the universe step in and use you to turn somebody's eternity around, that'll help you. You say, "I don't know if God wants to use me." You just start telling everybody you can about Jesus Christ. God will start using you. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll receive rewards from God. You'll prove that you're not a stingy person. What am I talking about? You virtually have a duty to yourself. And through your obedience to the Scripture, God is going to turn around and bless you. Hey, this thing of doing things for others, this thing of winning people to Christ, this thing of supporting missions, it's a wonderful thing, and we ought to do it out of duty. But may I tell you, if you will do it, God will bless you. When you give, God said, "I'm going to fix you up. I'm going to make sure I meet your needs. You're busy meeting the needs of another." And God said, come along and said, "You had your eyes off yourself. You were meeting the need of another. I'll meet your need." And just so you know, it is God that's been meeting all of your needs anyway. All your needs have been being met by God. And so, there's a certain duty. If you'll be obedient to God and do that which is best for God, that is best for you. if you'll do that which is best for lost people, God will do what's best for you. So there's even a certain duty in this to ourselves. The Bible teaches us of this thing called duty. It's the whole duty of man. It's a duty of man to fear God. It's a duty of man to keep His commandments. It's a duty of man to share the gospel with the lost. It's a duty of Christian people to share the gospel around the world. It's a duty. It's even a duty that we have to ourselves. Let me say this to you, number six. It's our duty to help finance the Great Commission. It's our duty. It is our duty. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." God said it's our duty. We are to go into all the world, teaching them. What are we going to do? We're going to teach them the gospel so they can get saved. After they get saved, they'll follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Then they'll get into a church where they then can be trained to go and do likewise. They go through a training program. It's not just getting people saved. It's a great commission. It's in three parts. Get them saved, get them baptized, and then take them to the training institution. The training institution on the face of this earth is the local New Testament church. Then we train them to go out and reproduce what they had just learned. This is a command from God. He says all nations, not just our own. All nations need people to be saved, baptized, and growing in the Lord in the training institution. It's my duty. Hey, listen. Do you understand duty? It is your duty to pay your taxes. The Bible says, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. It is your duty to pay your rent. It's your duty. It's your duty to pay your phone bill. It's your duty to pay your electric bill. It's your duty to pay your tithe. And it's your duty to reach people on the foreign field. It's your duty. It's my duty. It's our duty as Christians. It's what we're supposed to do. It is duty that will motivate you to make a financial commitment. It is duty that will move you to keep that commitment. It's duty that may motivate you to even increase your giving. See, emotional giving comes and goes, just like the unpredictable, inconsistent emotions of humans. Folks, the one thing that I really want to accomplish in our church, and we are, I want you to do what you're supposed to do because it's right to do. I don't want to beg. I don't want to plead. I don't want to have to tell sad stories. Why don't we just band together? It's a mighty army for our God, and say, if God said it, I believe it, I'll do it. God, you help me, I'll just do what's right to do, and I don't need anybody to pat me on the head, rub my belly, slap me on the back. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do, when I'm supposed to do it, how I'm supposed to do it, whatever you want me to do, I'm in. I don't have to be begged, I don't have to be pleaded, I don't have to be bribed. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do, when I'm supposed to do it. Oh, do our churches need Christians like that? My duty. There are military men all across this great congregation. Veterans. I really hope and I do think that most of those men, when they entered the military, they were sworn in. They understood. It was their duty, if it come down to it, to give their life for their country. And listen, when people join the military, and then mama don't understand there's a chance her boy might be killed, I'm wondering if she understood that he promised he was willing to lay down his life for his country. You don't send people to the military to get a college education. Now, I'm glad that they can give one that way. Sure, that's a wonderful benefit. Last time I heard, armies fight. I'm a part of the Lord's army. And I'm saved. And I'm duty-bound and obligated to do some things for my God. You see, I'm in the trenches right now, Brother Orange. Yeah, the devil's fighting with real bullets. But it's our duty. It's our duty. It's my duty as a Christian. To do what? It's my duty to give like I'm supposed to give. Some of you are emotional tithers. You need to grow up. Well, it just doesn't seem. Grow up. 52 weeks out of you. Do what you're supposed to do. Anybody baby you? Just do it. Some of you need to make a commitment to help us reach people around the world. Above your tithe. Why? It's your duty. It's your duty. It's my duty. It's our duty. 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 Let me say this, and I'm going to close the sermon down. Hey, if you're lost here today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I really believe this. I think it's your duty to get saved. You say, why so? Somebody died for you. If you're not saved, maybe I ought to tell you how valuable you are to God. God loved you so much, you're fallen. If you're not saved, you're fallen. You're going to hell when you die. And the Bible teaches that Jesus loved you so much, He went and died for you. He paid your way. If somebody died for you and paid your way, I'd seem to think there's a little obligation for you not to ignore that. You ever heard him say it? I'll get saved right before I die. I want to sow my wild oats between now and then. Just so you know, the harvest may choke you to death before you get to Jesus. I'd get saved right now. But the fact that you want to sow your wild oats and do your own thing and ignore virtually a duty that mankind has to God, you're going to waste your life? You're going to waste it? No, I'll get saved later. Well, that later may not come for you. And if you're a visitor here today, I just have to make you understand, we care about people. We truly believe there's a heaven, and we truly believe there's a hell. That's real. And you just check and see if what I'm not teaching is in the Bible. Just check the Bible. It's in there. And all we're doing is we as Christians are looking at our obligation and our duty. Our duty. It's our duty to keep people out of hell. If we opened up the earth and you looked to see that there was a place called hell and there were flames and you could hear the people crying and screaming in their torment, and we set a 4-year-old child on the edge of the hole, and I said, that child's going to be tossed into that fire, I think there are people here who would say, I'm going to try to run and grab that child. I'm going to try to run and grab that child. Guess what? If you're saved, even if you went to grab that child and toss the child out of the way of the flames and you fell, you're saved. You're going to heaven when you die. That child was unsaved. That child would die and go to hell. They'd burn in that pit. And there are people in here, you'd say, you know what? I think I would. I think I'd risk my life to save that little child. You know something? We can't cut a hole open in the earth. I can't set a child on the edge of disaster. But they're there. They're there all around the world. You would feel it your duty to snatch that child at any cost to save that child's life. Well, I can't open up the earth. I can't show you hell. I can't show you the child about to fall in. But they are. There are people all around the world that are right there. See, what do I do, Brother Owens? Do your duty. Do your duty. You say, what's my duty? I've got to figure out a way to get people saved. In the areas where I can't do it myself, what can we do? We can help to finance those missionaries that will go and do it. And thank God for them.